For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those are Paul's words in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. These are Jesus' words in John 6, 39. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those he has given me. Yes, we have a sure salvation. Perhaps you can relate to this tender childhood memory. Max Lucado's parents and grandparents conspired for him to spend a week under the care of his grandmother and grandfather. Max recalls, "I may have been perhaps 10 years old, if that. I was just a lad. The plan was simple. Mom and Dad would drive me to the bus station, buy me a ticket, and set me off on a 3-hour trek. My grandparents would drive to the bus station closest to their home, await my arrival, and take me to their home. My job, as recited multiple times by my mother, was to plant myself in that seat and not get off at any of the stops along the way. If I did get off, it was only to be for reasons of biological necessity. Do your business, talk to no one, and get back on board." And if Mom said it once, she said it more than a dozen times. Well, she had reason to be worried, of course. The road can be a treacherous place. Kids get lost. Kids get snatched. Kids get rebellious. But despite the danger, my parents took me to the bus station. As I was about to step onto the bus, my dad did a very reassuring thing. He took a small amount of cash, paired it with a pre-written note, and stuck both in my shirt pocket. "Buy yourself some candy." He gave me a hug, Mom gave me a kiss, and off I went. As per my instructions, I stayed put. I watched the West Texas cotton fields blur past. We stopped at thriving towns like Seminole and Slayton and Idaloo. But I didn't exit. Only when I spotted my grandma did I step down from the bus. The trip went off without a hitch. And the only reason it deserved to even be mentioned is because of the little note my dad stuck in my shirt pocket. Just a few miles into the trip, I retrieved the money and the slip of paper. "This boy belongs to Jack and Thelma Lucado." The note contained our home address and phone number, and in the unlikely event that I was separated from the bus, the message he hoped would return me and reconnect me to my family. Well, it brings me great joy to say this: God did the same for you. Look into the shirt pocket of your spirit and you'll see it. He laid a public claim to you. "This child is mine." You and I need the protection, for the road can be a treacherous place. His kids get lost. His sons and daughters grow rebellious. The evil one can lure us, and God wants Satan and Satan's minions to know, "This one belongs to me. Keep your hands off." F.F. Bruce, in a verse-by-verse exposition of the book of Ephesians, writes, "To whom does the Trinity entrust your protection? Answer, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit," Ephesians 1:13. Later in the same epistle, Paul urges us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In both passages, the apostle speaks in the simple past tense as so as to emphasize an accomplished deed. You are not being sealed, nor do we hope to be sealed. We have been once and for all time sealed by the Spirit for redemption. Seal. You know the verb. You twist the jar lid to seal the pickles. You lick an envelope to seal the letter. You notarize the contract to seal the deal. Sealing declares ownership and secures contents. Sealing is the act that says, this is mine, this is protected. And when you accepted Christ, God sealed you with his Spirit. He cocooned you, assuring your safekeeping. Satan might woo you, discourage you, and for a time influence you, but he cannot have you. Christ has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. So when it comes to divine sanction, you and Jesus enjoy the same status. He said, God the Father has set his seal on me, John 6:27. The Greek word used to describe both the seal of Jesus and the seal of the saint is identical. Would Jesus fear rejection from his Father? By no means. Should you fear the same? No. And not only were you sealed, you were adopted. Romans 8:14-17, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are also his heirs. You're no slave. A slave lives in fear. Fear that the master won't approve of the work he's done, or fears the master won't provide for his future. And what's to keep the master from selling the slave at any point? The father-child relationship, however, is one of assurance. In the Old Testament, God is described as Father 15 times. In the New Testament, he is referred to as our Father more than 200 times. And the New Testament, as you know, is much smaller than the Old Testament. So what happened between the Old and the New? Christ happened. His death on the cross was the final payment for our sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Beautiful promise in Psalm 103, verse 12. And how far is east from the west? Farther and farther by the moment. Travel west, you'll never go east. Journey toward the east, and you'll never go west. Not so with the other two directions, as you well know. If you travel north or south, you'll eventually reach the north or south poles and change directions. But east and west has no turning point. Neither does God. His forgiveness is irreversible. Micah 7:19, you will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. The Hebrew word for hurl sounds like shalak. So the Hebrew word in this, God gives our sin a good shellacking. He hurls our sins into the deepest oceans. He catapults them into the sky and lets them splash and sink into the deepest waters, never to be recovered, never to be used against us. He has fully dealt with them. Your sins are submerged at sea, loaded on an eastbound train while you and I ride toward the sunset. Headline this truth: when God sees you. He does not see your sin. God blots out our transgressions. He remembers your sins no more. Isaiah 43:25. No probation, no exception, no reversals. God will not change his mind about you. You are adopted by God. How precious. That idea is amazing in any era, yet to the audience of the writer and apostle Paul, it was especially significant. By Roman law, an adopted son lost all relationship with his old family. Everything was gone, and he gained all of the rights of the new family. He became heir to his father's estate. He was forgiven of all his past debts and was, in the eyes of the law, the son of his new father. And that's what Christ made possible for each of us. We are undeniably God's. Our past might as well have never happened. We have nothing to do with our old identity. The Holy Spirit convinces us of this transaction. For in Romans 8:16, we read, he joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Galatians 4:6-7, reading out of the message, you can tell for sure that you now are fully adopted as his own children, because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but you are a child? And if you are a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. The natural attitude of people toward God is not like this. They even might repeat the phrase, our Father in heaven, but they don't mean it. They don't really trust him and love him or pursue him. And apart from the work of the Spirit, they see God as a deity to avoid, even escape or appease. They dread God. And if they come to him in prayer, it's out of duty or fear, not out of love. But upon conversion, a supernatural change occurs. Our affection toward God begins to warm. We turn to him. We trust him. We begin to perceive him as the perfect Father. And we can do this, quote, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 5:5. The Spirit convinces your spirit of this truth. Your destiny is in the hands of a loving Father. Your name is not written in God's book with a pencil. He doesn't hover an eraser above your entry just waiting for an excuse to remove it. He's no cruel master who demands perfection and promises retribution. He is a good Father who has recorded your name in the book of life with the blood of his Lamb. And the Spirit of God is urging you to listen as he affirms in your spirit that you are a child of God. You have been adopted into the family. God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ, putting his yes within us. By his Spirit, he has stamped us with his eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he is destined to complete. That's 2 Corinthians 1. Verses 21 and 22. Robert Harkness was a gifted Australian pianist who traveled the world in his 20s with the evangelist R.A. Torrey. And one night at an evangelistic rally in Canada, Harkness met a young man recently converted who feared that he might not be able to stay saved. Harkness longed for the young man and others like him to have confidence in God's ability to keep them, to know that what he finishes, he will start. What he starts, he will finish. So Harkness mentioned the need in a letter to a London hymn writer, Ada Habershon, and inspired, she wrote the song, "When I Fear My Faith Will Fail." It's performed beautifully by Selah. It's now called "He Will Hold Me Fast." You can check it out on YouTube. "When I Fear My Faith Will Fail, Christ Will Hold Me Fast. When the tempter would prevail, He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those He saves are His delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in His holy sight, He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by Him at such a cost, He will hold me fast." Why is this security important? Why does this matter? Why do we need to know that you're adopted by the Father and sealed by the Spirit? Simple. There's power in assurance. Earlier this week, our Daily Bread featured a devotional titled "Fruit of the Spirit, Living Free." It focused on Paul's words that the Spirit is a seal, marking the fact that we belong to Christ. The Spirit is proof of our future. The verses are Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. It's not our text, but it very well could be from the voice. "You too have heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation. And because you believed in the one who is truth, your lives are marked with His seal." This is none other than the Holy Spirit who was promised as the guarantee toward the inheritance we are to receive when He frees and rescues all who belong to Him. To God be all praise and glory. Commenting on these verses, J. Vernon McGee in Through the Bible says, "There is a twofold purpose in the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. He implants the image of God upon the heart to give reality to the believer. You know that a seal is put down on a document and that seal has an image on it. I think that's exactly what the Spirit of God does to believers. He that hath received His testimony, His witness, hath set to His seal that God is true." John 3:33. Apparently that's the thought here. God has put His implant on the believer. The second purpose of His sealing is to denote rightful ownership. 2 Timothy 2:19, "God's foundation is strong and firmly in place, etched with this seal. The Lord knows the ones who belong to Him." The Holy Spirit is the seal that guarantees that God is going to deliver us. We are sealed until the day of redemption. What a great assurance. The day will come when the Holy Spirit will deliver us to Christ. It's nice to be sealed like that. We are just like the letter that's insured. In the old days, we would put a seal on it. Today, they just stamp it with a special stamp. But it still means that the post office guarantees to deliver the letter. In his recent release, "Help Is Here," Max Lucado tells of a young college student who requested that he pray for her to be accepted to law school. She filled out the forms and made the submission, and she waited and waited and waited. Each time we talked, she seemed increasingly anxious. "What if I don't get in? What will I do in the next semester? Have I selected the wrong profession?" The unknown future unsettled her. But then came the acceptance letter. "We are pleased to inform you." Oh, she called me with the great news. Her voice was strong. Her thoughts were positive. She immediately kicked into a higher gear. She was planning to find an apartment, review the curriculum, shop for some new clothes. Why the change in her outlook? She knew what was coming next. Her future was secure. The Holy Spirit provides far more significant assurance. From Him we receive an acceptance letter, not to law school, but to heaven. 1 John 4:17-19, so we will not be afraid in the day of judgment. We can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first. While at Bob Jones University and working at radio station WMUU, I wrote and produced a hymn history program on the song that Marilyn played for us this morning, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The writer Robert Robinson was a Christian who was unsure in his faith and insecure. And his closing prayer was one that many share. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. God loves you with a perfect love, perfect knowledge of your past mistakes, perfect knowledge of your future missteps, and yet is perfectly willing to love you despite both. He is committed to getting you home securely, safely. Nick Brown understands the value of such assurance. He was the first person in his county to be diagnosed with the coronavirus. He was 38 years old at the time, a healthy father of two daughters, as a resident in a rural county in Ohio. He had no idea how he contracted the disease, but he did, and the disease attached him with a vengeance. As his health declined, he was taken to the ICU unit at Cleveland Clinic. He was placed on full life support. His condition so deteriorated that the hospital had end-of-life discussions with his wife. His medical team monitored his treatment by writing goals for each day on the glass to his door. And at the end of the note, they would have a special message of resolve. We will get you home. Little by little, Nick's body began to combat the virus. The recovery was gradual, but it was complete. And Nick was eventually reunited with his daughters and wife. The caretakers had kept their promise. The Holy Spirit will assuredly keep His. We have been sealed. He will get us home. Praise the Lord. Selah.